In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What are the treasures of the church? Now perhaps you know the story of St. Lawrence well, and you know how that question is answered. In the year 258, the Emperor Valerian declares that all bishops, priests, and deacons must be executed in order that the property and goods of the church may be seized by the empire. And so the prefect of Rome, akin to what we might consider a mayor, initiates persecution. He takes the bishop of Rome and executes him and brings before himself Lawrence, archdeacon of the city, the one whose charge it is to distribute the church's goods to those in need, the poor, the widowed, the orphaned, the sick, the indigent, and so on. And the prefect summons Lawrence and says, "Produce the treasures of the church." Lawrence asks for 3 days, at which time he continues to distribute the goods of the church to the poor, the widowed, the orphaned, the indigent, the sick. And that then is whom he presents before the prefect. All those who have received the ministry and the benefit of the church, those who have received mercy, those who have received compassion. And he says, "These are the treasures of the church and the jewels of our crown." As you might imagine, the prefect is quite angry. Lawrence is thrown into prison, whereby he baptizes many of his fellow prisoners. And I would suggest that's the origin of the Alleluia verse, that by the sign of the cross he made the blind to see. Because that is where you regain your sight, blind to the things of God, blind to the things which make for peace, as Jesus said in Sunday's gospel, blind to that which is done for you, according to your old nature, according to your own works, according to your own reason and strength, you are blind. But by the sign of the Holy Cross, inscribed upon your heart and upon your forehead, with the water mixed and mingled with the blood of Christ and anointed with his name, you are declared to be his own. You are rent asunder from this unbelieving world. You are made to see what sense and reason does not and cannot. You are made to see with a clarity the things which God has done in his Son, Jesus Christ, in the taking up of his cross, and in the reconciling of God and man in his death and by the shedding of his blood. The emperor and the prefect have no concern or care for those things, of course, and so they prepare a great gridiron on which to roast Lawrence to death. But even in the midst of this most agonizing, most torturous way to die, he can mock and ridicule death itself. His persecutors have no power over him. And so, as it is well known, Lawrence says, "I'm well done on this side, turn me over." That is the boldness and the confidence which the disciples of Jesus have in the face of the torments and the persecutions of this world. That you can go outside these walls, outside these doors, unafraid and bold, in spite of whatever else might happen to you, whatever they might say against you, whatever they might do to you. You are bold and unafraid because you belong to Christ, who has reconciled you to his Father. Jesus himself says, "Do not fear those who can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy the body and put the soul into hell." The men of this world have no power, though they think they do. They cannot rend you asunder from the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. They cannot pull you out of those hands which were nailed to the cross for your salvation. They cannot pull you out of the hands which knit you together in your mother's womb, which bathe you in life-giving water, which feed you the medicine of immortality, that you may overcome, that you may be bold, that you may stand firm in the face of all of these things. So what then are the treasures of the church? Are they not the things that you receive here? The ministry of word and sacrament, the forgiveness of your sins, the body and blood of Jesus Christ given for you to eat and to drink. These are the things that make you to be rich. These are the things which Jesus has given to give you as a partaker, as a co-heir with him in glory. That you who were born blind in sin and trespasses would be rent asunder and to be made a child, a son and daughter, an heir of his kingdom, an heir of his Father, child of his Father, which no man can change, which no man can dispute, which not even the devil himself can take from you. Is it not here where you receive the forgiveness of your sins, as those same hands which were nailed to the cross are laid upon your head to declare that all of your sins, every sin you have committed in thought, word, and deed, by the things that you have, every sin that you have committed by the things that you have done, and even the sins you have committed by the things that you have not done, are put away from you as far as the east is from the west, and remembered no more. Is it not here that you yourself receive the medicine of immortality? We do not receive here the things of gold and silver. We do not receive here what men consider to be precious jewels and stones. What we have here is far greater, is far better, and makes us to be richer than the richest man in the world, whom I understand currently as Elon Musk. What we receive here makes us to be richer than even Elon Musk. And the kingdom that we inherit is far greater than anything that he possesses. We receive the kingdom of our God and Father, who gives it to us freely. He gives it to us even though we are the ones who have betrayed his Son, even though we are the ones who have treated his prophet shamefully and murdered his only beloved Son. Yet in his great love for us, he gives us his Son's inheritance. He gives us his Son's kingdom. He makes us to be who were once not a people. He now makes us to be his own people. So in spite of the things that you suffer in this life, as you do indeed take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus, you are not left on your own. You are not left abandoned. But you are joined. You are supported. You are lifted up by Jesus, who took up his own cross to reconcile you to his Father. You are carried by Jesus, who carried the weight of your sins even unto death, so that as you bear your cross in this life, you follow after him who gave himself for you. Taking up your cross and following the Lord Jesus is not always easy. It's not always pleasant. But it hurts. It's painful. Sometimes taking up your cross and following Jesus means to be beheaded in the public square. Sometimes taking up your cross and following after Jesus means to be roasted alive as an enemy of the state. But to take up your cross and follow Jesus is to follow where he leads, as he leads. And if you take up your cross and follow Jesus, following him through suffering and death and burial, then you shall also take up your cross and follow him into resurrection, into new and everlasting life, into that riches, those riches and those treasures which cannot be taken from you, which moth and rust do not destroy, which thief does not steal. The eternal treasure which is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord, by which you are made his treasures, by which you are made his witnesses, even unto the men of this age, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven, that they may praise the one who has given you such boldness and confidence, that they may praise the one who has made you to be so indescribably rich, that they may call your God their own God, as has always happened in the history of the church. This is why it can be said that the blood of the martyrs is the seedbed of the church. For where men, women, and children willingly and boldly and happily give up their blood and their life for the sake of the confession of Jesus Christ, there is always someone standing nearby who says, "That is my confession. His God is my God." And it happened even 10 years ago with those martyrs on the Libyan shore, martyred by agents of ISIS, that there was a man there who was not a Christian, but whom when they came to him, he said, "Their Jesus is my Jesus. I believe and I confess in their God." And he too received the martyr's crown. This is why we bear our cross in this life, that our flesh may be disciplined, that we may cling all the more steadfastly to Jesus, but so also that the Spirit may use our example to strengthen and encourage our brothers, to add to our numbers more brothers, more sisters, more children, heirs of our God and Father in Christ. By the treasures which Jesus freely bestows, by the treasures which Jesus gives for our sake, we are made into his treasures, which he presents before his God and Father, and which the Father is more than happy to receive from his hand, from which no man, no thing can snatch us. In Jesus' name, amen.